Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with my boys in tech, Andres and Aaron.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to be here.
Hey, how's it going?
And welcome to the second episode of Tech Plus Plus. First and foremost, sorry that this episode took a bit longer. Due to the unprecedented times and Andres and I moving into a new house together, we couldn't find that much time to record. But with that being said, we will be getting a schedule together soon. To release episodes a bit more periodically. So let's just jump right into it with our first topic, Aaron.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Today I wanted to talk a little bit about Googling, why, about Googling as a skill and why it's so important with respect to programming, but also in just in general in this day and age. First and foremost, you Google stuff to learn about something, right? But there's a lot more past that, right? In programming, especially, you're not gonna remember everything. You want to get the main skills down, problem solving and stuff like that. But those really specific things when you need to get something just right, you Google that when you need to. It's just kind of something that you know where to get the answer. You don't have it right offhand, or that you're just, checking up to make sure something is right. And that also gives you, the most up-to-date information every time you get or you Google that thing. So, it's a kind of double bonus there.
Basically, like, from what I've noticed from Googling is that, just like Aaron said, you Google to know what you don't know, basically. Like, a lot of the times, like, I don't know how to approach something at all. Like, why am I gonna go to, like, for example, the senior developer and ask, hey, what do I not know? You know, that's gonna be a very rough question for them as well. Like, how are they gonna answer that, right? Versus if I Google a little bit and research a little bit about a topic and then go to the senior developer and say, hey, so this is when I researched, these are the XYZs that I found out, but can you explain it a little bit deeper for me? That way, at least they have a lead of what they should tell you, right? For
Yeah, you
example, if
get
I,
detailed,
right.
specific answers.
Right. For example, if I go to Aaron right now and be like, hey, how do I do this on my computer? How does he know, like, how far of a computer do I know? Like, what if I don't know how to even turn on a computer, right? Like, there needs to be like a stepping stool of, hey, these are the exact questions that I have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I guess, like, in general, like, yeah, Googling is important, but let's just say for our major, the higher you get into these, like, these courses, the harder it is to, like, actually, let's just say, like, find solutions and stuff. Let's just, 'cause you guys remember taking compilers, like, literally our professor wrote it. Like, there's not, you're not gonna find documentation online. So it's like, also that goes back into using a professor as kind of like your resource, which, they could always help you. It's not like they're there to make you fail, but.
Yeah, but again, like, back to what Aaron was saying, like, and that's like your professor would be basically your senior developer, right? Like, he knows everything from A to Z of exactly what you're working on. But if you go to your professor and ask, like, yo, how do I do this project, right? Where are they going to help you from, right? Like, exactly, like, you have to pinpoint it, like, hey, I'm stuck at this for loop, or I'm stuck at this part, you know? But overall, like, this isn't just for our major. I would say in general, like, I feel like there's a lot of majors that could benefit from Googling. We're in a time period of our lives that every answers could be found on Google. We're not saying, like, the exact answer, but at least the steps of how to solve something, right?
Yeah,
So
definitely.
that's
And
definitely like a major point in our life, is that researching, I want to say, like, not the word exactly Google, but researching about a topic, can go a very, very long way.
And that goes into like being able to detect the info you need right away. and also sifting through information that you might not find relevant or not believe. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to always question what you're being taught or what you're reading or the information you're being given. And so being able to sift through, you know, 5-10 different links from a Google search and being able to detect that these one or two, you know, paragraphs from in that section is what I need and what I really,
right,
I guess, believe, mm-hmm, or whatever.
Right. Cool. Yeah. Overall, Aaron, could you give us like a example of like a, what kind of search queries, I guess, do you do? Like if you're stuck in a problem.
If I'm stuck on a
problem. Yeah. Like how do you search in Google basically?
Well, depending if I'm trying to learn something, mm-hmm, for example, during my senior project, I needed to learn a couple new frameworks to build the website. Mm-hmm. I Googled a ton and read a lot about what's out there, mm-hmm, and why you should be using this versus, mm-hmm, that. I had an idea of what I wanted to go with, so I Googled along that path. In this case, I wanted to use JavaScript. So I kind of went down that path, and I came across Express and Node, but that's not really as important in this case. I just read a lot about those things, and then I proceeded to go into like tutorials, exactly, and I did probably 5-10 tutorials or so. And then while I was doing that, I was practicing building something kind of like what my final project, mm-hmm, would be, but just bits and pieces of it using the technologies I needed.
Cool. Yeah.
And so as I found problems along the way, I Googled about those problems and kind of learned by applying what I was learning, mm-hmm, and getting really hands-on with it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I could kind of say the same thing. For me, let's just say for like whenever I had like issues, definitely like specific errors, I usually get keywords out of it and then just kind of Google and then kind of build up from there. And also, like, there's lots of documentations out there. So, mm-hmm, like, you don't, like, especially for, like, personal projects and stuff, like, you don't really want to, what is it called, reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to make use of what's already.
Yeah, basically, like overall, arc of, I feel like, computer science is this huge puzzle, right? Like, for example, if you're building a project, it's this huge puzzle. And instead of you building the pieces, you're going to find the pieces on Google and put them together, mm-hmm, to be your project. You know what I mean? Like a lot of those pieces are already there, some shape or form, right? So you should make use of that. That way, it's probably the best way to save time and your coding energy.
Forward with your
project. Yeah, definitely will make you move forward a lot faster than you trying to like invent this new cool way of doing something and then realizing somebody else has probably already done the same exact thing. You know?
Yeah.
Or better.
Yeah.
And you want to use your creativity on something else, something that's actually
the creativity should go into the big picture. Right? Like you shouldn't waste your energy with those small pieces where your creativity could be the overall project, you know?
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. That was very good. Let's move on to the second topic. I would like to talk a little bit about how to get jobs and jobs in general. Let's just start with just going around, Aaron and then Andres. How did you guys come about your job, or did you hear from it, or did you apply?
So I started my job search my senior year, kind of late in the fall semester. I got one or two local interviews, mm-hmm, but nothing really came about it, and that was to try and get a little bit of experience before I actually try and venture out of Chico. Mm-hmm. And across the way, I subscribed to the head of my, mm-hmm, department of computer science at Chico. He has a mailing, mm-hmm, list for all these job opportunities that companies have contacted him for. And so I actually got a couple interviews out of one of those, and I landed a job with one of those emails from one of those. One of his emails. And it took a couple tries, mm-hmm, right? I had multiple interviews. I ended up going to career fairs. I got one or two interviews out of career mm-hmm. fairs, even, you know, traveled places to go interview at the office, you mm-hmm. know. And it was kind of 5 or 6 interviews before I finally, you know, ended up getting something really mm-hmm. good and something that, you know, I bit for.
Awesome.
And it's been a great, great That's experience awesome. So far.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
Yeah. How about you,
Andres?
So the way I got the job was kind of the same as Aaron's. I also got an email from the head of the department
mm-hmm.
That a company was coming to visit our school. They were going to do like a greet and meet. And throughout the semester, like, you guys like really pushed me into like just being out there and stuff and just applying and all that stuff. So,
had to.
Yeah, so I had to like really prep for this because you usually have more chances of landing interviews when you're actually like face to face with the company. So That's yeah, true. So the process that I kind of took to tackle this is I like researched the company a little bit. I went through their official websites, and they also have their job postings. Before they got there. So I kind of scanned through it, and then I was just pretty much whatever I felt like I needed to share out on my resume based on their requirements. That's why that's what I added. So that, and also, you know, throughout that semester, I was practicing like algorithms and stuff, or just like basic questions. Fast forward, I went through two interviews with two different managers, and yeah, like I landed the job, and here I am.
Awesome.
Yeah, here you. Mm-hmm. I like to touch on a couple of things that you just said.
Yeah,
is practicing before the interviews, like problems, and going back through the kind of the foundational knowledge that you got in your undergrad, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then also tailoring your resume to the job requirements is huge. And really refining your resume before you get to your job searching is like critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely got a lot of feedback from just people and like you guys. So it's nice getting that feedback from other people because, you know, you might see it as a perfect resume, but, you know, it's different for other people.
Yeah, you got to put it out there.
Yep.
And you got to get opinions of other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you got to initiate it. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. The current job I have right now, I actually got in with an internship last summer. I had an internship with them, and it was interesting because at the end of the day, it actually led to that email that you guys were talking about, because my first internship was because of that email. I got one of those job notification emails from the head of our department, and that job taught me C#, and therefore for the following summer I was able to land a internship with my current job, and from there on, towards the end of the internship, I got my full-time offer to start this past January. But I got the internship during a career and job fair. So we're going to talk a little bit about job fairs in general, as all three of us have been through job fairs.
Multiple. Yeah,
definitely. Many. Since freshman. Sophomore? Mine was a freshman year, I think, because...
I think mine was
Yeah, because I remember freshman year, but I had no intent because I knew I don't have enough knowledge at all. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I just went through like the little aisles and stuff to see like what it looks like, what the attitude of people is and stuff like that. And that's very important. I'm not saying if you're not a freshman, it's too late to do that, but at least go to one career fair, just walk in the aisles and say hi to people. You don't have to actually like dress up if you're not, I guess, looking for the job, but it's a shot in the dark, you know. like dress to
just go talk
exactly
to people.
just dress to impress and go talk to people, and you might be surprised of what jobs you might land. But overall, in the job fairs, you need to learn to be professional and loud, and that means you need to have a lot of energy. You know, one of the best ways to get energy is to, for example, let your professors know, yo, like, I'm not going to be in class today because I have a job fair to go to, and I cannot focus to the class when I have this job fair that I have to go focus on because I need to land this job, right? Don't tire yourself out. Like, don't go running like 5 miles, then run into the place. You know what I mean? You need to be clean. You need to have a good attitude, you know?
A lot of mental
definitely,
preparation.
Definitely a lot of mental. It's definitely stressful. I've definitely gotten anxiety every so often from it because I just walked up to someone. I'm like, oh God, like, what am I going to say to them? Right. Which goes back to what Andres said about the research. You need to research about this people, like this companies, before you go talk to them. Because a lot of them, honestly, we're engineers, right? We're computer scientists, and not everyone is social, right? And that being said, they might not even know what to tell you. So you need to be the one that brings up questions, brings up topics, talks to them, sell yourself, right? Because the more energy you put into applying into a job, the better chances you have into getting that job, right?
That is so true.
And
researching before you get there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Definitely research about the company, what they do in the application. Like, what is it in the application? Like, for example, if they're like, oh, we kind of would like someone who knows Java, right? When you go up there, be like, yo, here's my resume, here's Java, this is the project I did with Java. Don't be surprised. They're like, whoa, like, this whole school, it's like, for example, the school we went to, it was like C++ dominant, right? It was either C or C++ dominant. And you're like, yo, I know Java. And they're like, okay, then screw everybody else. You know, like, there it is. That's exactly what we want. So you want to stand out, right?
Yeah.
And that's the most important part, because at the end of the day, these people going to go home with like 500, 600 for like a school, small school like us, maybe like 200, 300 like resumes, right? Your resume needs to shine to a point that they put it on top or side, you know? That's very important. Another one is this might not be too prominent, but from what I've noticed, giving firm handshakes and giving eye contact goes a long way.
Huge.
Correct.
Like, it might be very minimal compared to everything else, but smiling and going straight for a handshake and shaking their hands firm and looking in the eyes and be like, hey, how's it going? Like, I'm here for XYZ and this is me, blah, blah, blah. Or here's my job and blah, blah, blah. Here's my resume. You know, get that energy you put in with that firm handshake and eye contact. They'll be like, damn.
And that confidently speaking.
Exactly. They'll be like, damn, that guy was so cool. And they will never forget you. You know what I mean? And another one would be, this one is a little bit trickier. So this one is, for example, let's say Aaron and I are at a career fair together, and Aaron goes before me, right? And he hit all those points. He's standing out. He's professional. He's loud. He has a lot of energy. And what I have to do as the follow-up person is to use that as my baseline. If I want any chances to be a candidate for that job, right, that Aaron obviously like scored because I just saw him and this dude just killed it. You know what I mean? That means I have to use that as my baseline, right? And be more energetic, stand out more, talk more, bring the dude to the side and give him like an example or whatever, like do something that stands out even a little bit more than the person before you, right? If, for example, if a person before you got lucky and it's just this very shy dude and this guy just goes up there and super shy and he doesn't know what to talk about and leaves, use that as your base and give a lot more energy, You know what I mean? Like, if the person that's like interviewing, I guess, had a really bad experience with the person before you, you want to give them the best experience they had. Does that make sense?
Like quick turn.
Exactly. Just because they're like, oh man, like that guy was so awkward. Well, holy crap! Like this dude is just an absolute opposite of that. You know what I mean? Just so make sure you set a base every time you go up to someone. Set a base and see who just went before you. You know, and give either that much energy or more energy than that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and one small tip, but one way that I got myself more comfortable is I kind of warm myself up by talking to companies that you're not really into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then once you, you know, once you get the ball rolling, once you feel like a little bit more loosed up, mm-hmm. I guess, talk to the big companies.
Exactly. I would say not even big companies. Companies that honestly, like at points, I went to the business career fair, right? And I just talked to companies that were not even looking for engineers. You know, like they were not looking for engineers. I just went there and talked to them and showed them my resume, and we talked for a while. And they were like, "Yo, we're not even looking for engineers." I'm like, "I don't give a crap. Like, I wasn't even supposed to get your
job. I just want to talk to
you. I just want to see how do you respond." All right. So with that being said, first and foremost, congratulations to Andres. Today was his first day at his new job. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congrats, Andres. Yeah, tell us a little bit about it. How was it?
It was good. Mostly a lot of welcome meetings. I never used Outlook, so I'm kind of getting used to that. Yep. And then just kind of getting used to the whole, because they send me a Mac like to work. So kind of get used to my environment. But it's nice. They threw me into, I think it was called a Q8 whiteboarding. And they moved me to QA. Mm. So they kind of want to see what what they're doing. So it was interesting. A lot of keywords that I was clueless about.
Nice.
But that's how it started.
That's that's always good, right? Because you get something new to learn.
Yeah.
You learn all that stuff over time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy the amount of knowledge that I've got up to, and I don't even feel like I have that much yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right now, like, my week schedule is so much, it's so impacted with meetings, but it's cool, exciting.
That's awesome. So I know the topic that you were looking into was imposter syndrome. Let's talk about a little bit about that, especially now that you got your first day of the job.
That I'm actually feeling it.
Yeah.
So I'll be talking about the imposter syndrome. I'll give a little information of what it is, my personal experience with the syndrome, and how to like kind of overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
The formal definition of imposter syndrome is the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own effort or skills.
Mm.
So, meaning you feel like an imposter, or you have this feeling that you do not belong in this, let's just say, like a prestigious school, a job, or wherever you are, because you just feel like you're not as good as those around you.
Yeah, you're lesser or something.
Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of feeling. This is not like a reflection of a low self-image, but it's just kind of like a feeling you get with like a particular job or whatever program you're in. So some people feel like this whenever they're like part of a good program, a group, or a job, or even just being people around like in the same field as you. So this transition from kind of being an overachiever through school, for example, to becoming just like the achiever results in kind of that belief that everyone around you is smarter or more capable of doing the task that you're doing even better. So kind of like example, I want to say at first when I started my career in computer science, I was all new to technology. Like I said it in our pilot episode, I got my first computer right after I graduated from high school. So seeing all these people that build their own computers, their keyboards, and just in general doing like high level projects, even at a basic course, that really put a lot of pressure on me and really put me down and made me think that I wasn't good enough to be where I'm at, which led me to like asking myself, like, do I belong here or am I smart enough to be here? So I guess fast forward like a few years and I was still having that issue, even in the high courses I was in, even though I was doing great on my side. But because I was just seeing even better and great students that could easily outperform me.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was in college, I was not like the A student. And I'm pretty sure, you know, you two know that. I would always struggle to like get a subject in my head and then just finishing projects and stuff. Because for me, it takes me hours to understand something.
Yeah, guys, this Andres was like the most diligent and like hardworking guy. Like, his hours are probably messed up because of the way that he used to study so hard.
We're talking about his hours. This man like sleeps in the afternoon, is up all night. Like, it's just crazy. But yeah, it's definitely the hard work. You know, the hard work in the back. Like, I guess at the end of the day, it was the amount of hours he put in, right? Like, it's comparable to other people just because of the amount of hours he put in, right? Sure, it's I don't even know how to explain it. It's just a lot of topics, like, is easier to some people than other people. Like, for example, even within my company, right, I sometimes get imposter syndrome because someone, you just tell them how to do one thing, right, and they run with it, right? Like, yeah, they know immediately. Yeah. Like you can ask that question a year later, they'll know it without even asking anyone. But for me, I just have to practice it a little bit and go back to it a little bit and be like, how did I do that again the other day? Like, I know exactly how, I did it myself, right? I did the thing myself, but I forgot it, right? And that causes imposter syndrome, right? Because how did that dude get it but not me, you know?
Yeah.
Do I deserve this? Like, you know what I mean? But definitely, like, back to what Andres was saying, like, it's not that you're worse or you're bad at all. It's just the fact that people have different study skills, right? Right. For example, shoot, man, like, I can't learn by, like, reading a lot. I have to be told, if that makes sense. Like, I have to verbally hear someone say something, and I'm like, I got it. Right? Either yeah, verbal or visual. But like, when it comes to like reading, like midway through, my ADHD kicks in and I'm like, oh, I don't want to read anymore, you know? And I forget it, you know? So that's why a lot of like the books that I quote unquote read, they're audible.
Yeah, I feel like you're a really visual person.
Definitely, definitely.
Especially like when we studied, you know, we would always have those whiteboards.
Exactly.
And just go at it, you know?
Exactly. Like, even if it is, if it's just readable, like if it's something that you just read, I had to write it on the whiteboard, you know, so I can see it with my eyes big in front of me. And I'm like, oh, I get it. And that's how a lot of the tests went, right? Because of like visually, I would remember, you know, what it looked like, not exactly the topic. But we're getting a little bit off track. Andres, continue with imposter syndrome.
Yeah, but so what Ali was saying a little bit, so, you know, luckily with hard work and, you know, just staying positive as much as you can, it kind of made me overcome this issue. So I guess in general, you know, just stay positive and know how much, you know, you're worth, and just reflect on how much you've done to get yourself where you're at, even though it kind of it doesn't feel like it, I'm pretty sure there's other people that have seen mm-hmm. the girl.
Exactly.
And, you know, just kind of hold on to that, you know, just kind of push through it and just remember that, like, not a lot of people grasp like things fast as mm-hmm. other people. So, you know, just be patient with you and, you know, eventually everyone becomes an expert.
And honestly, being completely honest, like, us three are kind of perfect example of this. We're all three of us are literally exactly six months away from when we started our jobs, right? Like, for example, Aaron recently hit his 1 year, right?
Oh, 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. And this recently I hit my 6 months and I'm just start. And yeah. And I don't know exactly, I can't speak, but I'm going to make an educated guess that all three of us still to this day sometimes have imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact 6 months later, some days I do have the imposter syndrome. But Aaron?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, sometimes you have that like moment of, holy shit, I get to do this for a
living. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I get to sit here and solve problems and do really hard and
exactly. puzzles like, and whatnot. And it's just, it's surreal, right? It's very surreal. But
in that moment. Yeah. But now it kind of wears off a little bit quicker, but at first it did not at all.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it took until, really communicating with my boss and talking about, you know, how I'm doing and stuff, where I really felt comfortable.
Exactly. I think it's...
And confident. And...
Yeah. Exactly.
And definitely, like, try to express those feelings. Like, let's just say you're 100%. Working in some field. And if you just kind of feel that way, just, you know, talk to someone. Don't hold it in, you know?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the managers, especially my manager, has been very helpful through that. Sometimes some things are just not clicking, right? And mm-hmm. and it is fair to assume from everybody else on the team or anybody else in your company that you know the topic, right? It's fair. You got this job. You should be familiar with some topics that they talk about, right? And but you don't, because it's a lot of the code are internal and you're just like, I don't know who wrote this, when did they write it, and why did they write this the way it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Complicated. So a lot of the times when I'm a little bit overwhelmed, I like talking to like my boss about it and just like, hey, I don't get this. And he, like, obviously he's been there for a while, so he knows exactly the ins and outs, and he could just give me a leeway of, hey, look at this part of the code, or look at this documentation.
A little bit of guidance.
Exactly. And that's what I really love about my company, is that I want to say like 90% of the problems that I had, there has already been a documentation on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And since it's an internal code, reading that documentation clears a lot of things up. So, so it's been good. It's a very good experience for sure. But yeah, I do to this day again get imposter syndrome, and it's definitely fine. You will get it. Everyone will get it. I think it's just inevitable. But
yeah, and then in terms of talking to people, having a mentor is awesome. Mm-hmm. Calling your parents. I call my parents all mm-hmm. the time.
Right. You know?
Talking to people about it is also a great way to do it, because those people watched you, you know, go through
mm-hmm.
the process of whatever you did to get to where you're at. So,
right. Cool. Andres, any last words about imposter syndrome?
No, that's kind of what I have for my
second. Awesome.
Awesome. I don't know. Yeah. Did I hit all the points?
I think you hit all of them about three times.
Yeah. I hope everyone understands what imposter syndrome is now. But we are reaching about like 37 to 40 minutes of recording. So I would like to take a moment to thank you for listening this far.
Yes.
Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify. Mm-hmm. That way you'll be notified when the new episodes are available. Like I said, we're trying to get a schedule out. And that schedule will be on Twitter. So now we have a Twitter as well.
We do have a Twitter. I'm pulling it up right now.
Yep. Please pull it up and let us know what the handle is. Please follow us on Twitter. And that will be one of the first ways that we're going to start contacting and connecting with our listeners. So please do follow us on Twitter, share us on different platforms.
So our handle is going to be all spelled out, tech++_.
Mm-hmm. That's PLUS.
Tech
PLUS. Mm-hmm.
@PLUS underscore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, please follow us. Please follow us and subscribe to Spotify for the upcoming episodes that are going to be there. One final word, good news of this episode. I got accepted into Florida Institute of Technology, and I'll be studying to get my MBA in project management with focus in technology. So that's going to be...
Hey, congrats, man.
Thank you, thank you. That's gonna be a very long ride, but it's going to be fun, you know. I can't wait, because I know for a fact getting my MBA for the next 2 years is going to bring a lot to this episode, honestly. I know for a fact I want to talk a lot about the managerial position of technology. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah, and what you learned. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Give us some perspective.
Exactly. I would love to.
Insights. Good insights.
Cool. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye. Guys.